Like others, I can be distracted from getting on with an intended task. Saturdays in particular prove to be a little bit of a challenge as the all-important task of settling down to write the sermon begins to happen. Throughout the week, I will have taken the odd moment to look at the passages and to allow them to settle in thoughts, often with the hope that a sermon might appear on the horizon around about Thursday. Some weeks that doesn't happen. Some should maybe read most. More often than not, though, I find myself at the desk on a Saturday looking at the notes I have on the pad next to the computer, wondering what words might appear on the screen in the next 2 to 3 hour period. The 2 to 3 hours involves a lot of trying to remain focused on the task. It's often on a Saturday that I suddenly remember all those wee emails that I should have got to earlier in the week. The telephone's a really good distraction. There are any number of calls that could easily happen as I lose focus on just getting on with it. In fact, I should tell you, if you have an email or a phone call from me on a Saturday morning, your reply should actually be, just get on with the sermon. Of course, I like to blame others for my procrastination. My study, just so you know, is in the wrong place. Life was easier when my study was up a set of maid stairs and there were 2 doors that shut me off from the family world. Everyone always decides they need something on a Saturday. And so the study door, which creaks, just so you know that, that's so I can get some WD-40, swings backwards and forwards as people come to ask me questions about food I don't care on a Saturday, or look for lifts to their social engagements. However, deep in my heart and head, I know the procrastination is mine. There are a wide variety of shiny things that can dazzle my thoughts for an afternoon. Yesterday, in a final attempt to focus, because the spider plan for the sermon was written and sitting on the pad next to me, I resorted to using my procrastination notepad. You may not have known such a thing exists, but it does. And I have one. And I noted down all of the tasks that could wait until Monday, but were still of some importance. Ooh, shiny things is a phrase used to describe current time attention deficit. It notes that many of us fail to place our focus in a well-intentioned and hopeful outcome and instead move our thoughts over a huge variety of periphery and non-contentious subjects. We live in a world where people are reluctant to invest their time and energy in a single thought or practice for any length of time, and instead dart from hobby to social platform to job, failing on occasion to form the community and friendships that are needed to build a worthwhile community. The disciple in the gospel reading echoes that human compulsion to look in the wrong direction. The Mark passage is a beautiful capturing of the moment in which Jesus and the disciples are living, and a retelling of the events that will eventually happen within 40 years of the crucifixion. The temple in Jerusalem at the time of Jesus was a building site. The first temple had been destroyed, and as the biblical Jewish community returns to Jerusalem, this great symbol of a once great nation instead represents the faded hope and failing community that they have become. The post-exilic period sees a great amount of rebuilding of a once great city, overseen by Herod the Great. He's determined to build a temple worthy of his memory. The Jewish historian Josephus describes the extravagance of this building with its large, white, beautiful stones. For the measuring sort, because there are always some, and for an indication of how big these stones were, they're supposed to have been 37 feet long, 12 feet high, and 18 feet wide. And once you get the idea of the size of one stone, you begin to get a sense of the size and grandeur of the building. Of course, I know there are people in this congregation who have seen what is left of the Second Temple. In Jesus' apocalyptic speech, he foretells the destruction of the temple. an event that historically we know takes place in AD 70. Jesus suggests that enjoying the wonder and grandeur of the temple building, that the disciples are being distracted on focusing on what matters to God. As well as the destruction of the temple, Jesus then lists a number of other apocalyptic events that will distract people's attention from God's purposes for humanity. War and unrest appear as a major way of turning people from the creative intention of God. The passage seems very negative, and yet it's a refocusing of the disciples' attention on the task in hand. The writer of Hebrews, while reminding those hearing of the place of Christ within their faith, within this passage sharpens the focus on what it means to draw near to God. Describing 5 steps on the journey, drawing near to God, holding on to hope, spurring one another on, meeting together and encouraging one another. This reshaping of a Christian life to draw near to God is vital in the historical events in which the passage is written. Early followers of the way are likely to have mixed easily within the Jewish worshippers. They're at first no more than a messianic sect who still hold at their heart the scriptures and texts that draw them near to God. As this passage develops, we are told the story of a group of people who no longer feel that they can be held within the threshold of biblical Judaism. They've been taunted and, some occasions, physically abused. So we're meeting a group of people who probably feel divested of their place of worship and of their faith. How might they draw near to God at a time when they feel the places and spaces of faith no longer hold them? They do so by holding to hope, spurring one another on, meeting together, and encouraging one another. Their focus is entirely on drawing near to God, for in that purpose they find themselves restored to focus on God's creative purposes. Has Brexit become one of the shiny things that is drawing the focus away from God's purpose? Or at the very least, for those of less faith, the thing that is detracting a nation from focusing the care and needs of the communities of which we're part? Why worry about the ever-increasing use of food banks, the decreasing hospital staff, the pressures placed on budget-constricted schools, when we can bash foreigners for not talking properly and wanting to keep our money? Perhaps we should hear Jesus' words calling us from the large white stone that is Brexit to focus on the needs of our community and find ways to bring the hope of God to all people. Of course, as a church congregation, we have our own shiny things that keep us from being the community that Christ invites us to be. Disillusionment at the diminishing role of church in public life, not enough younger members, our own ambitions and hopes for our own lives. Perhaps we're being called back to a simpler time, a moment to draw near to God and be reinvested in God's purposes for the world in which we live. Are we willing to hold on to hope when all around us seems hopeless? Will we spur each other on as we share our faith together? Doing that takes time. It's more than Sunday mornings together. It's investing in relationships and opening ourselves up to the potential of hurt. Will we meet together? It's good to see you. Know that it is. But again, it's more than Sundays. It's time over coffee or making our way to the event that might just be at the wrong time and the wrong place, but at which we re-establish being a community that focuses on God with us. And are we prepared to encourage one another? Wouldn't it be amazing if we could find ways in which to be positive about each other rather than picking at people with our criticisms? How changed our church community, the community beyond the church, our world would be if we spent time noticing the good things that happened rather than pointing out the flaws and faults. Let's draw near to God. Let's find God at the heart of all we do, so that noticing God's presence becomes the life force and drive of our community and the way in which we greet the world. Amen.